What more could he do than save, than send his own son? Oh, there is so much love. You know, I've used this illustration before, but it bears repeating. Because if you think you have pressures, if you think you have problems, if you think you have overwhelming odds, if you think you're seriously outgunned, if you outgunned and outmatched and running out of time, if you're there, if you think you're there, just remember where Israel was one day when they were up against the Red Sea. Why is that in the Bible? They were right by the Red Sea. And Pharaoh said, well, I guess they don't have a very good general. Sent his chariots, and they were going to kill every one of them. At least 3 million people. But God put a cloud, a pillar of cloud. Ooh, ooh, ooh. We heard that this morning, right? A pillar of cloud. You know, is God changed? Is he capable of protecting his people now? He put a pillar of cloud there, and they couldn't go. They couldn't even see him. The cloud was so thick. And that cloud was filled with warrior angels ready to do business. And then God opened up the sea. And they walked across on dry land. And when they were safe, God dissolved the cloud, called the angels up out of there. And Pharaoh went right into the trap. You know, it's exactly what the devil did. He went right into the trap and crucified Jesus. But you know what? When that water closed, millions of tons of water just crushing them in an instant. They were as free from Pharaoh as they were ever going to be. They were free from the slavery of the past. They were free from that taskmaster. They were free from that sadistic ruler. That's how free you were when you were born again. That dry land represents the birth canal into the promises of God, into the new birth. And you're as free from the devil as the children of Israel were from Pharaoh when those waters closed. That was the washing of the water by the word. That was the word, the water of the word of God closing on your enemies and liberating you. This is the gospel. It's a crush it, trample on serpents and scorpions and rise up free to walk with God in peace. If you're not getting anything out of this, I sure am, boy. I'm getting myself happy. I know in my own life, there have been times that I've needed that picture to come up in my mind and erase the past, erase when I was as guilty as the devil himself. And you have too. All of us. Have we been there? And I had to declare that my past is past, and that I believe in the blood of Jesus, and I believe in him who shed that blood. And I have declared that I am free from that. And I have heard the crashing of those waters close in on my past and separate me from it and deliver me from it. And I've heard it, and it is there. It is so real. It's so good. And I never want to go back. I only want to go forward. I only want to press on to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. It's mine. He gave it to me. If his grace was not insufficient for me, his grace is not insufficient for you. If his grace was sufficient for me, it's sufficient for you. Believe me when I say it. You know, it's time that we just let's start believing God. And let the past be the past. Let the waters of the word, the truth, deliver you from that and help you to realize who you are in Christ and all you can do. Let the waters close on a dark past and open up a bright morning where his mercies are new every morning, and you can walk with him in confidence, knowing that you are a child of the living God. Yes. Amen. Amen. Oh, too many Christians. I will get to my message. Too many Christians are living their Christian life under the old covenant, under the concept that God will do something someday, some for me. You're living as if Jesus never went to the cross. You're living as if he never died for you, took your sins into himself, went to hell, deposited them there, and rose again from the dead, forever putting that behind us. putting them in the seed that has no memory. They're living that way. And God's saying, I already completed my work. Come, take up the cross. Follow me. Just don't go to the cross and beg God all the time. Go through the cross into the resurrected life. Amen. Take it up. Yes. Take up the resurrected life and start walking and moving in God. In him we live and move and have our being. He's a mighty fortress. And even if you fail, you can't fail. He's big enough to clean up your mess. He's big enough to clean up mine. Hallelujah. Well, are you at Philippians chapter 4 yet? Well, if you're ready, let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. And so Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can. Good word. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Oh, hallelujah. Today we're talking about potential that seizes opportunities. Seizes opportunities. That's the word receive. Lambano. I like that. Potential seizes opportunities. In part one, we talked about some of those obstacles, affliction, persecution, cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. Devil used all of those things to get us distracted, to get us to feel inferior, to get us, he uses all, to, why? Because when we're over here, he'd come and pickpocket you and steal the word right out of your heart. To make it unfruitful. We talked about that. Pressure. What's pressure? Anybody tell me? What's pressure? Yeah, it's affliction. Affliction comes for one reason, to get you offended, to drop the word. Let go of the life preserver. The word is the only thing that'll help you. The word is a spiritual force that created the universe. It can solve your problems. Seize opportunities. Potential is power and motion. Now, I just can't get past this. Affliction has many meanings. It's pressure, hardship, problems, when things go uphill and there's no end. It's just hardship, trouble, trials, temptations. All that is affliction. All that falls under affliction. The Bible says that God tempts no man. That word tempt means tempt, test, or try. He doesn't tempt us. In fact, Jesus called temptation evil in Matthew 6:13. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yeah. Temptation is an evil thing. God doesn't use it. God doesn't test, tempt, or try any man. Why? I mean, he would be working against himself, and Jesus said that kingdom won't stand. If he was going to tempt, test, or try you. See, again, that's religion.
Right.
That's not God. It's so subtle, and it slips in there so subtly and so easily. And we bank on this thing. You know, people blame God for taking away their jobs, for doing. That's not God. That's devil stealing it. God is not a thief. God is an enricher. He tries to promote you wherever he can. But if you didn't do your things your own way and not his way, then you're looking at your own strength. You're submitting to that which is already here in the world, and that's under the God of this world. I remember Kenneth Hagin had this little book called Don't Blame God, and it was a little bandage on his finger. Don't Blame God. We have a habit of doing that. Oh, God took this from me. God didn't. No, he didn't. He said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Remember, we talked about that. If you think God is a destroyer and a judge and a mean old man with a long beard and a fly swatter, then he is to you because that's your reality and that's what you walk in and that's what you expect and receive. According to your faith, be it done unto you. But if you believe he is a loving, merciful, wonderful father who opens up his table to his children and say, come and fellowship with me, then that's who he is to you. Right. It's totally up to you. He gave you the truth so that you could agree with it. And too many preachers are in too many pulpits totally misrepresenting God. I get angry when people misrepresent me, when they lie about me, when they say things about me that aren't true. That bothers me. You know, to God, yeah, think how he feels when all these people, oh, yes, well, I'm, yeah. Really? Or God permitted this. No. The power of binding and loosing has been given to you. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And if you agree on anything, I'll do it. Remember that, darling? Oh, yeah. That's a testimony. Okay, seize an opportunity. I came in one day. It was back in 1997. And I remember it looked like somebody hit Lori right in the stomach. She had like a mantle of heaviness on her. I didn't say what's wrong. I said, what's up? She said, well, I got bad news from the doctor today. And she got this benefit that she could go and get a physical examination free every year. And they do everything. And they found lumps in the breast and in the pelvic area. When the doctor, she pressed down on it, and it was painful. She said, that's it. Ultrasound, blood test, and Lori's a nurse. She knows that's not good. And we've shared this story before, so I'm not sharing anything new with you. So she told me the story, and I said, hold that thought. I'll be right back. I got to go upstairs. We lived in a townhome at the time. That meant I had to go to the bathroom. So I went up to the bathroom, and I said, Lord, what about this? We're tithers. You rebuke the devourer for our sake. I didn't get those words out of my mouth. And the Lord said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven, and if you agree on anything, I'll do it. Amen. My faith went through the roof, through the clouds, through the universe, through everything. I was in heaven, man. I tell you something, I came downstairs like almost like strutting like this. I said, come on, we're going to take authority over that thing and agree. She went back to, we had a good time in the Lord. But she went back to the doctor, zero lumps. Blood tests all worked out fine. These truths will heal you. They will save your life. But if you're saying, oh, Lord, please heal me. Oh, Lord, oh, I'm so weak and I need you. You're not doing what he said to do in the Bible. He said, talk to the mountain. Talk to the disease. Talk to your fear. We talked about that this morning. We sang that this morning. I preach to my doubts. And I'll talk to my fears. I think I got that backwards, but you get the idea. You got more potential in you than any problem that you could ever face, than anything that the devil has. Anything the devil can come up with and so cleverly disguise. There's more power in you than he can handle. The problem is, we're not releasing that power. You know, if you get a loaf of bread and you bring it up to the counter, that bread is still belongs to the store until you pay for it. But when you pay for it, it's yours. Jesus paid for your healing. It is yours. It belongs to you. Faith comes and takes. This is the faith that comes and receives. The faith that takes. The faith that says, I believe that you're true and everything else is a lie. Mm-hmm. Isn't that good? Here's potential. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I have the anointing that lives in me. It abides in me. I have that anointing. Why? Because he said so. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Christ is the word for anointed one and his anointing. You have that anointing. Here's some more potential that you have. All things are possible to him who believes. That's what the angel told Mary. And then Jesus, when he grew up, said, all things are possible to him who believes. That is unlimited. That doesn't have any caveats attached to it. It's truth. The only limitations are the ones we put on it through wrong thinking, wrong talking, wrong believing. With God, all things are possible. I can do all things. I can do?
I can do
whatever.
Whatever.
Through the anointing that God has placed on me. Develop in that anointing. Develop in that truth. Let that truth be developed in you. What strengthens me? The things I do through the anointing. It's exercising. You know, James, we did that in the Word of the Week this week. James said, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various temptations. Are you kidding? That's like somebody throws a left hook at you, lean into it. That's what I used to think. But the joy of the Lord is what?
Strength.
Your strength. That's why I said count it all joy. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that throne is a throne that we can come confidently to. God's plan for your life is not for you to sit back and let God do everything for you. Amen. He's your helper, not your do-it-for-you-er.
Right.
That's a word. It is now. By the way, God doing everything for you, that is the landing dock of the sovereignty doctrine.
Yeah.
That rips, it is a ripoff. It is a doctrine of devils. And I can gladly stand here and say, that is a doctrine of devils. Look at me. That's a doctrine of devils. If God wants me to have it, I'll have it. If he doesn't want me to have it, that's religion. That is dead, dried up, long-whiskered, old, gray-haired, crumbly, crispy, old, Pentecostal, evangelical, charismatic religion. It's all it is. It's if you buy into that mantra, you will deny yourself of all the potential that God has placed in you. God has given you power to get wealth.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He's not going to force it on anybody. He doesn't do that. His will is not something that he enforces. That's something that you do willfully by surrendering your will. He has not called us to just sit back and say, hey, can I shine your shoes there, son? This doesn't fall on you like ripe cherries from the tree. That's what my father in faith used to say. This doesn't fall like cherries from the tree. You got to get up and believe God and walk accordingly. I love him. I love my dad in the faith, Brother Kenneth Hagin. The proponents of the sovereignty doctrine, this is another rabbit trail, but we're taking it. The proponents of the sovereignty doctrine, see, God is sovereign outside of his word, but within his word, he's delegated to us. We ask, we knock,
yes.
We seek, we put on the armor of God.
Right.
We take up the word of life. And we hold it forth. There are things delegate in his word that he has delegated to us. And he's not going to take it back.
Right.
He won't do it. He will allow you to express your own opinions until it takes you wherever. But anytime you want to come back and say, I want the truth. I want the truth. Here's the truth. Second Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will come and I will hear them from heaven and I will come and heal their land. Right? If God was sovereign, there would be no if.
Right.
If is a very big word. Well, he is sovereign, meaning that he doesn't answer to anybody. that's what sovereignty means, but the church has added a lot of meaning to it. Mm-hmm. That isn't true. No, God is sovereign in that he has delegated things to us, and he doesn't answer to anybody, and he doesn't answer to our unbelief or our doubt or our misuse of scripture or our religion. He doesn't answer to that, but he answers to his word. His word will not return void. When we return his word to him, it's full. He says, I can work with that. Yeah, I'll get all over it. Say amen or oh me, but if this doesn't get you to humble yourself and just say, hey, look, you know, Lord, I got on the wrong track somewhere. Help me. He will. He'll just get you right back. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he gave us a really big hint. Choose life, that you and your seed may live. If God was sovereign as they say he's sovereign, there is no choice. That's already been decided for you. Isn't that true?
Yes.
There's one yes. Isn't that true?
Yes.
You know, if you agree with the word of God, you are agreeing with something that is settled forever, that is pregnant with power, life, ability, healing, restoration, salvation, whatever you need. When you agree with the word that is settled forever in heaven, on the earth, you become that birth canal for that word to become a reality in your life. And you are, there is more explosive energy in that word than any atomic nuclear bomb you ever dreamed of. Except it's not a destructive one. It's a life-giving balm. You know, we've got to take these old religious platitudes and just throw them out the window. And really, because they sneak in so easy, and they make you think that everything is up to God and nothing is up to you. How convenient. No, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to walk in truth. It says in 3 John, he says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. In fact, there's a scripture. If you get my emails, you can see the scripture down by my signature every single time. That in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, it says, whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. If you keep his word, the love of God will be perfected in you. It'll be completed through you. It's a powerful word. It's the love of God. It's a covenant of love. It's the testament of love. It's what we named our church after. Love never fails. You see, if you're filled with the love of God, you will bear all things.
Yeah.
You'll go through the valley, not stay in it. You'll go through the valley of the shadow of death. And you won't fear any evil because you know the truth. God wins.
Amen.
Amen. All that stuff is man's religion, man's ideas, man's ways, man's philosophies, man's religion. And you know what man's religion is? Here's the root of it, is that it is man trying to answer supernatural, spiritual questions with natural human answers. And they never do connect. There's no connection there because they go totally opposite and they have no connection with truth. In fact, they raise more questions than they do answers. They say, well, you know, I'll have to circle back with you. Oh, amen. Ouch. Somebody just got took down a notch. That person should be taken down all the notches because there's an illegal regime in the White House right now. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know, you can learn a whole lot that has nothing to do with the truth. And you will be bound up in pride, bound up in, you know, that's the world. I said this last week about confidence. Well, here's the thing. The world's counterfeit for faith is presumption, egotism, pride, arrogance. That's the world's counterfeit for faith. But once you have been filled with faith, and if you are in the presence of God, you can't help but be filled with faith. Somebody said once that God doesn't use faith because he knows everything. That is a false doctrine. That is an incomplete knowledge of what faith is. That's like saying God has all knowledge. He knows everything, so he doesn't need wisdom. They're two different things. Faith is not knowledge. You can have all the knowledge. I can know the scriptures back and forth, but if I'm not walking in faith, if I'm not believing them, all I know is not going to do me any good. In fact, all I know is going to condemn me. Because I'm not believing God. And the scripture, you can't read it without it demanding some kind of a decision of faith to believe in it. Take that, devil. Truth is where potential lives. Truth is the spirit of truth. And you don't need any more potential than what he's got. He took the word of God that lives and abides in you. He took that word and totally recreated your spirit. He took the word that the Father spoke, which is Jesus, and slung this whole universe into existence that's still growing at the speed of light. Do your answers seem a little more accessible now? Do your questions and problems seem a little smaller now? I hope so. Because these truths will get in there and it'll start deleting all of your wrong thinking. Just like the blood of Jesus deleted all of the memory banks of heaven. Wiped them out. There's nothing to accuse you. Except the accuser of the brethren. He's a liar anyway. Amen. He has no case, no legitimate case against you. Even if you're guilty. If you sin, that's not any of his business. You have a Father in heaven. And that is between you and the Father. And you let that picture come up. Let the waters crush your enemies. Amen. Amen. Crush the accuser. Amen. Crush him. That's right. Because you have been delivered to the promises of God, which was represented in the Old Testament as the promised land. Live in the land. It says, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Faithful to forgive and to love, to show forth his mercies which endure forever. Truth is where potential lives. And potential lies in the simple power of truth. Then you'd be free to walk with God in all of the details in life. Share a short testimony with you and we're done. That was cool. In 1978, there was a girl in our fellowship. She had been through a divorce. She had a brother-in-law. And everybody liked this guy, but he was a Jehovah's Witness. And he took enough horse tranquilizers to kill a horse one night. And he was in St. Raphael's in New Haven, Connecticut, St. Raphael's hospital in the intensive care. And he was hanging on by a thread. Bonnie, this girl, she was a x-ray tech at a CHC, which is a small little hospital thing. And she was on call that day, and her buzzer went off. It was her mom got word that her ex-husband's brother was in the hospital, and he was about to die. So she called, you know, she got this information. And she came up to me afterwards, and she said, my ex-brother-in-law, Donnie, is in the hospital. I said, which hospital? She's right up the street here. And I said, St. Rafe? She said, yeah. I said, let's go. Well, in those days, they were really strict, and you had to have a pass, a visitor's pass, to go up in intensive care. And I wasn't family. So Bonnie went up, and she came back down and said, you know, if he even opens his eyes, it would be a miracle. So I said, God, she told me I can't go up there, not Bonnie, but the girl at the desk. You told me to come here, and I want to lay hands on this guy. I wanted to seize this opportunity. And I said, I don't care what they say. I'm just going up. I walked right past the desk. She didn't even see me. I went into the elevator. The elevator was about to close. These two guys get into the elevator. And you know what they were saying? He says, okay, we're alone now. Nobody can hear this. And if you say I said this, I'll call you a liar. And they started talking like that. I realized I was standing in the elevator and they didn't even see me. I got up off the elevator and I'm looking. I looked right over here, ICU. And as I started walking to ICU, the doors just opened. This really happened. This is the truth. And I went right over and stood. I didn't know where anybody was here, but I went over and I'm standing with this guy who had a big mask on and he was in bad shape. And I said, Donnie? His eyes opened up. I said, hot dog, it's miracle time. Hot dog, it's miracle. A nurse came in. She wondered what I was doing there. I said, Donnie, Jesus sent me here. He wants me to tell you something. That he's the Son of God and he loves you. He paid a price for you. I preached the gospel. I think the nurse got saved too. And he's going like, and I could tell he wanted to say something. I said, Donnie, just agree with this prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. I've been wrong about so many things. And I know that you can make it right. I take you as my Lord and Savior. I confess you as my Lord. Donnie ended up getting healed. But if I didn't seize the opportunity, Donnie may not have been healed. I don't know. I'm not going to take the credit for anything that Jesus really does. But he works through people. He works through his body. We need each other desperately. This is not like in the world where you have a corporate. They don't need anybody. You know, it's all about them and their little empire. No, we need each other desperately. I need you. You need me. And together we'll be happy. No, but the thing is, we work together. We are a living organism, and we need, my feet need, when I get an idea to go somewhere, I need my feet. If I cut my finger, I need my feet to get me over to the sink, into the bandage cabinet and whatever. But I need, every part of my body needs each other. All of my thoughts will do me no good if I can't move my body, if I can't do anything. Amen? God works through that. There's more to that testimony. Maybe I'll share it again at the end of that sometime soon. But let's just thank God for his word. Thank God for these truths that will carry us through all of the... And will cause us to realize our potential so that we can seize opportunities before they disappear. Amen. Yes. Father, we just consecrate ourselves once again to your word, that you have established this church as a word-oriented, a word-based church, not a personality, but your word is honored here. And Lord, we thank you for the truth that makes us free. Thank you for the truth that rescues, heals,